The wide, wide world of sports is going on here.
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
Because it went off originally because of my knee.
You have a metal knee, right?
Yeah, because of my knee. And I said, well, I got a knee. He goes, well, it's very sensitive. Let's see what you got in your... Do you have anything in your pockets?
Let's see
whatever.
What you got. You said, excuse me.
He goes, no, that's going to have to stay. But now we're going to have to really search you. Let me pull on the rubber gloves. And I'm like, oh, no. Here we go.
The pop.
And then it was like right up the leg. And it wasn't like padding. It was, I don't know if he thought he was on the jungle gym, like a little kid or something, reaching for bars or something. But he reached up real quick. His hand went up, and I'm like, oh, excuse me, mister.
Excuse me, sir.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talk Sports.
Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up, all the teachers, time to teach.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Get them up, get them out. It is Friday on B&E. That's right. Made it to the end of another long, hot week in Austin, Texas. 20 July, I should say. Got a lot going on. Live action from a drizzly morning in round two of the British Open. Some low scores being posted, though. We'll keep you abreast, get you leaderboards throughout the morning. Also, the other top stories of the day, the NFL anthem and their issue take center stage again. Got the Carmelo Anthony situation in the NBA. We'll dive into some baseball. And plenty to do on what's going to be another record-breaking heat day in Austin, Texas. Sunny and 105 degrees today, and you were out in the middle of that yesterday, my friend.
That was stupid. The only ones on the golf course again. But I'll just say this. If there weren't those little – this course, the private course that has
– of course it's a country
club. Two little cantinas where you stop off in between on the front side and the back side. If it were not for that, with no card girl, I don't know. I would have had to come in yesterday. I probably drank 5 Gatorades, you know, 5 or 6 things of water, bottle water, lemonade. And I'm going to tell you, it was hot yesterday. About 4 holes to go. And it's not so much of when you're out there. It's when you have to drive back an hour from Marble Falls. That was the killer.
Yeah.
Was I had to get in the car for about 15 minutes with the air conditioning on. But the drive back, I thought I was doing 70. I was doing like 55, and people were zipping by me because everything was going in slow motion. I was exhausted, and I went to bed at 8 o'clock.
I wondered yesterday when you got up early to watch the Open.
At 3, yes.
And then you didn't get a nap and went to play golf. I'm like, dude, you're going to melt. You're going to die out there.
It was so hot.
So you're not just hot, you're also physically tired and exhausted.
And you could smell the wood from the woods, you know what I mean? Like the dead wood that was in the woods. You could, like, smell it.
Well, they've had some brush fires out that way.
Well, I saw helicopters going over with the tanks. Yeah,
they're dealing with a lot of that out in the hill country. So you were out amongst it. But, be careful. I mean, it's kind of a depressing look. I'm looking at the 5-day forecast. 105 for high today, 106 tomorrow, 107
Monday.
Sunday, 109 on Monday. And then, hey, a cool front rolls in Tuesday and drops it back to 99. But... but we'll take that. I mean, 109 is dangerously hot. Heck, on Monday, the low temperature, we won't even get back down to the 70s. It's going to, I mean, the ground is so warm. The air is so warm. I mean, geez Louise, 110
really
degrees on Monday.
It's an incredible feeling. And, you know, I'm not making light of this, but when you leave a dog in a car or a child in a car, and I can't even imagine what that's like. That's a suffering death. You just your body just your energy and your life is just drained out of you, and there's nothing you can do when you have like heat exhaustion.
That can happen when it's 85 degrees outside, but
I mean
obviously we do not do that.
Well, I'm just saying people just extra care, extra look, extra whatever. I mean, we lose so many kids to that. The number of kids we lose. Like you said, it doesn't have to be 90 or 100. It can be 80s.
Yeah, you can be anything warm and humid will. you know, you don't want to mess with. But certainly this is beyond dangerous. This is,
and I see guys out there on the roadway and doing the work on the roadway. Oh. It is brutal.
All right, so high triple digits throughout the day today and then through the weekend. Really some of the warmest temperatures we've seen in a while. That'll be the case until Tuesday. So make plans for that. Find some water. Drink a lot of water. And, you know, make some plans to be indoors if you can. And you can be indoors watching the British Open. Let's get you posted. There's a lot of action going on in Carnoustie, Scotland. Let's get you the news. Caliber Collision brings you that news, always from the Ticket City Update Desk. You got second-round action at the 147th British Open at Carnoustie Golf Links. It's a drizzly, overcast day on the eastern coast of Scotland. Winds are fairly calm, though, so plenty of low scores thus far in round two, including a couple of big names making charges. Rory McIlroy is 2-under through 15 holes today. He's to 4-under. He actually got it to 5-under at one point here on the back nine and tied the clubhouse leader from yesterday, Kevin Kisner. Kisner won't tee off till this afternoon, but Rory making a run today, as is Tommy Fleetwood. He's 4-under now for the championship, just one back of the lead. He's shot 5-under so far today. He is playing 18. Zach Johnson to 4-under par as well with a solid round. Golfers making runs as well include Francesco Molinari, Adam Scott 2-under for his round today, Jason Day 2-under for his round today. Tiger Woods is on the golf course, but not posting a low score. We'll keep you posted on Tiger's day today. Still even par for the championship. Less than 2 months after establishing a controversial national anthem policy, the NFL has hit the pause button on that rule. While the league and the NFL Players Association are not going to take time to negotiate a private compromise on a policy for conduct during the anthem this season. In a joint statement, the two sides declared that their shared focus will remain on finding a solution to the anthem issue through mutual good faith commitments outside of litigation. In the NBA, the short-lived Carmelo Anthony era in Oklahoma City, as expected, is over as the Thunder have cut ties with a 10-time All-Star yesterday, sending him and his almost $28 million salary to the Atlanta Hawks as part of a three-way deal that will send Dennis Schroeder from the Hawks back to the Thunder. Melo, of course, will never play a minute for the Hawks. They're expected to buy him out for his full contract and salary. Houston Rockets reported the frontrunners to sign him as a free agent once he is cut loose. In Major League Baseball, one score from last night. First place Cubs top St. Louis 9-6 to open a five-game series at Wrigley Field. The other 28 teams in the MLB will return to action post the All-Star break tonight, including the first-place Astros in Anaheim face the Angels. Last-place Rangers hosting Cleveland Indians. Yesterday completed a major trade. They acquired the All-Star closer Brad Hand, along with rookie reliever Adam Simber, to help restock their struggling bullpen. They had to give up their top prospect to get it done, as highly regarded catching prospect Francisco Mejia is headed to San Diego. Switch hitting Mejia, widely regarded as one of the top prospects in all of baseball. Round Rock Express won at Colorado Springs last night 4-3 in their final ever game there. That franchise is relocating to San Antonio for 2019. E-Train will now roll into Omaha for the weekend for a series with the Storm Chasers. And that's the news.
This segment brought to you by Caliber Collision. No matter how it happened, Caliber Collision makes it like it never did. Rate among the highest in customer satisfaction, restoring the rhythm of your life. Caliber Collision.
Sure didn't take Scotland very long to get bad from yesterday's beautiful 70 degrees to just rainy and crappy today.
Well, that's the coast.
No wind,
coast of the North Sea. I mean, that's just kind of those coastlines. That's what happens. I mean, the weather changes, hour to hour with those storms and moving. Yeah, but it's been an overcast, drizzly day. Sometimes it picks up a little bit. They put on their, the umbrellas pop out. But really what that has led to, as you said, with not a lot of wind, it's been a very calm day or morning so far, is a soft course without a lot of wind. So these guys are attacking the course, and there are a ton of red numbers on the course right now. I mentioned Tommy Fleetwood is having the best round of anybody. He's 5-under for his round today.
You got a bunch of guys in your picks.
I'm in fourth
Zach
place.
Zach Johnson.
We have like 9 pages of picks, and I'm in fourth place right now.
Zach just birdied to be
because I do have Zach
five.
Of my 9 picks for our fantasy golf challenge at hornfm.com. I did pick Tommy Fleetwood. I did pick Tony Finau, who had a great round yesterday, and I did take
Zach Johnson.
Yeah, and I thought I took Kevin Kisner. Then I went back and looked yesterday. I must have changed that before I submitted my picks. I thought I had Kevin Kisner, who was your clubhouse leader yesterday. Oh, by the way, Zach Johnson has just posted another birdie. He is to 5-under. Rory McIlroy got to 5-under and then gave one back. Zach Johnson is now to 5-under. He has tied the lead through 14 holes today. Remember yesterday Jordan Spieth was to 3-under and then collapsed in the final four holes, playing it in 4-over, including a double at 15. These final four holes, Jack Nicklaus has called the toughest final stretch in championship golf. The final four holes at Carnoustie. Of course, John Vandeveld blew up on the 18th. But, you know, when the Golden Bear speaks, I'm listening. So,
oh, yeah.
This championship will absolutely be decided in those final four holes, which are very, very challenging. And the weather hasn't even been bad yet. I mean, yesterday was beautiful with low winds. Today's drizzly with low winds. But that, again, that's just led to a soft golf course that they can attack. You wonder if the winds will pick up. You assume they will at some point. But so far, no.
You know, we talked earlier this week when we were at the Big 12 meetings about the fact that next year's Big 12 meetings is going to be in Jerry's world. And it is that's a shame. The Big 12 is, and this had been planned out obviously by Jerry and the SEC, because the SEC will bring more people, and they're trying to get into the state of Texas.
I have not found any confirmation that the SEC is coming to Dallas. What I read was they're going back to Hoover, Alabama next year, and that's already been agreed to. But
well, they've got an event coming there then?
I don't know. Well, no, I mean, remember Jake Trotter, when we talked to Jake on Tuesday, he's from ESPN.com, covers the Big 12 and college football. He said the deal with AT&T Stadium was the Big 12, when they left the Omni Hotel in downtown Dallas, they wanted to go to AT&T Stadium originally, but they had something booked.
A concert or something
that was in the way. And so the Big 12 had to find another place, and the Star Complex was a compromise. But Jerry Jones made them sign a two-year deal for use in Frisco, because he knew that the first year it wasn't going to be done with the new hotel and all the shops. So knowing that year two they would be done, so that everybody that comes there would see, you know, the completed project.
But the contract was no further than 2 years?
2 years. And so the plan all along was to go over to Cowboy Stadium, which is where they'll be next year. I don't, because someone mentioned that they had heard that the SEC may be holding their media days at the Star Complex next year.
Trying to put their show on the road. That's what I heard.
I have not found confirmation of that from anybody. And everything I have seen suggests, because they were in Atlanta this week. They wrapped those up yesterday, 4 days of the SEC media days to launch the college football conversation in the season. Everything I've read is that they're going back to Alabama next year for media days. But, you know, if you know more, you can let us know there.
That's what I'm seeing, too, from a couple of different sources. The SEC apparently is exploring options beyond 2019, and Frisco could be in consideration. But for next year, they're going back to
Alabama.
Hoover. Well, speaking of relocation, I mentioned in the update that, you know, a minor league baseball game in Colorado Springs is not a huge deal. The Express beat the Sky Sox last night 4-3, but I'm not going to report this, but I can tell you what's going to happen in September of this coming year. So a few months from now, you're going to hear that the Round Rock Express are once again the Astros AAA affiliate, and the Colorado Springs Sky Sox are moving to San Antonio.
So you're reporting that?
And there's a wide belief that the Texas Rangers will make that their AAA home starting in 2019, and that'll happen pretty quickly. I'm not sure where – we're going to have to talk to our friends in San Antonio, because I'm not sure where they're going to play, because, you know, the ballpark down there, the double-A ballpark, where because the Missions have already announced that they're moving to Midland. They're taking that double-A product to Midland, Texas, I believe, is where they're going. So the relocation is behind the scenes. It's in the works. But I guess for baseball fans in this area, by next year, that very fertile farm system of the Houston Astros will be back playing at the Dell Diamond as the AAA affiliate of Houston. And the Rangers, who have been there at the Dell Diamond for the last 10 years or so, as the AAA affiliate, will be most likely headed to San Antonio with the Sky Sox. But that'll all open up in September. There's kind of a process that goes on in the middle couple of weeks of September when that can come down. But almost a foregone conclusion now that affiliation change will be made. And it just makes sense with the, you know, Ryan family, Nolan Ryan, Reed Ryan, still in charge at Round Rock. And they're now down in Houston and the Rangers and that whole thing. So you can expect that to come down.
Yeah, I was saying about this deal, Big 12 going to Jerry's World, that is a monstrous place if folks haven't been in there yet. And I think Frisco was just so perfect. It looked like just the perfect venue for it. I mean, it's nothing exciting there. There aren't a lot of – there's no pageantry for Big 12 meetings. But I don't know how they do it in Jerry's World. If they put you down on the field, they'd have to cover you up somewhere.
I mean, again, what we heard was that they want to get fans involved, and I don't know that that's – I think that's barking up the wrong tree. I don't think most – look, we go there and do our shows because the audience can come along with us and listen and hear from the coaches for the first time. But I don't think there's much fan experience there. If you're going to go as a fan
– not in July outside.
Yeah, I mean, people are going on vacations. I mean, really, it's a very boring process, the media days. I mean, it's just people, you know, pretty much stock questions and answers. There's not a lot of news made. And there's not I don't know what the fan experience is or would be at a media days session. You know, there's a coach and a couple of players, handful of players in suits. You know, I don't know, but I guess that's what the Big 12 is thinking. But for us, it won't change a lot. It'll just be in a bigger venue, and we'll set it. There'll be a radio row. There'll be an area where they do press conferences. There'll be an area where they do breakouts, and we certainly will be there. But yes, the cavernous AT&T Stadium. Well, it does have the go-go dancers and the lounges.
They're
and
not
things.
Coming.
No,
they're on vacation too.
You'll get to see Bob Boolsby on an even bigger screen.
Yeah, Jumbotron.
Oh, I don't need Boolsby on that massive monster screen. That's
saying nothing.
No bueno.
What about Cliff Kingsbury, Buck?
Ooh, the Cliff.
On the jumbo
60
screen.
60 yards of Cliff.
Yeah, no kidding. If he's there next year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we had the, well, we had our friend Josh Abbott in yesterday. Josh Abbott Band, Texas country star. He Cliff Kingsbury was at his wedding recently. That's when you saw him in Dripping Springs.
I did, yeah.
And, Cliff knows the score. Cliff knows that.
He knows about the pressures on him.
That he's very lucky to have that job. If not for the win in November over Texas last year, he probably would have been.
I think he was a goner.
He would have been gone. I mean, that's pretty much widely known. Even among Cliff. Cliff knew that if they go 5-7 last year and don't make a bowl game, he's gone. Except they beat Texas, went 6-6.
Texas made him $3 million.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah.
That's what we do, man.
That's right. This is Texas.
Hey, all right. So you want to know why they're going to the AT&T Stadium? I need to understand this, BK. You're our basketball NBA expert. What is this Carmelo trade? I don't understand why they had to trade him to Atlanta so that Atlanta could buy him out. I don't really get this deal.
Do they really want him, Atlanta?
No, Atlanta's going to cut him loose, but they're the ones that are going to buy him out.
Yeah, well, Atlanta wanted to get rid of Dennis Schroeder's contract as well. They wanted to get that off the books because that's a dude who's making $16, $17 million. So
Dennis Schroeder Charlie Brown?
Yeah, they wanted to get him off the books. He's got the two dots over the O, so I'm going Schroeder. But
umlaut.
Yeah, they wanted to get rid of that contract, and Oklahoma City obviously wanted to get rid of the Melo contract, so it works out well for both teams, and the Hawks get a future first-round pick. Look, they're trying to tank hardcore. And Schroeder's one of their best players, but the Hawks know that they've got a ways to go, so they're just accumulating draft picks by doing this move.
Well, Schroeder could be a nice pickup for the Thunder then,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he can contribute for that,
too. Yeah, I mean, that's just a piece, but they did re-sign Paul George. They do have Russell Westbrook. All right, so that's probably an upgrade. But the Hawks are going to be on the hook to buy out this deal. So almost $30 million to Melo. See you later. I love when stars get paid to not play, right? That's what a contract is. NFL players are salivating over those guaranteed contracts because Melo's going to cash. They're going to pay him in full for his upcoming salary as a buyout, and then he's going to get to go pick where he wants to play next year, and that team's going to pay him as well. Won't be nearly that, but that's most likely the Houston Rockets.
Wow. There's your Gat Fleetwood with a birdie at 18.
Ooh, three players tied atop the leaderboard at the Open Championship.
And you could have had all three of them if you'd have had Kisner.
Dang it. Yeah, Zach Johnson, Tommy Fleetwood are on my team at thehornfm.com, and I thought I had Kisner. I know I have Finau, though. I'm picking Finau every major from here on out.
He's going to dislocate his elbow or something.
And still play.
Yeah, that's true. He'll still continue to play.
You think Tiger's tough with his bone popping out.
He's still got his neck stuff on. He's still got the tape on his neck.
Yeah, Tiger's hitting stingers everywhere, as you predicted, but he's even par.
That's okay. You're still in it. It's Tiger, only five.
Well, but Tiger wanted to get off to a better start. He went bogey-bogey on 2 and 3 today. Made a birdie at 4 to get it back, but he's still just playing even par golf right now.
Every guy that takes a swing, it looks like that club slips out of their hand and they're looking at their glove in their hand.
Yep.
These guys must have like 1,000 gloves in that bag.
Yeah, and you wonder,
it is wet today.
You wonder if it rains beyond this, because of course they still have a full day of golf to go. They'll be playing golf until 3 o'clock this afternoon and how that weather changes. But, Fleetwood, Johnson, and Kisner, well, Kisner's got to play in the afternoon. And you wonder if the weather gets worse.
Finau on the course today already?
Not yet. Nope. He tees off after Kevin Kisner, as a matter of fact.
Is this meltdown day for him, BK, probably?
What do you mean? This guy's rock solid.
Where Finau melts down?
Yeah, he'll go like 1 or 2 over par today, and then by Sunday it'll be
done.
I mean, he's not going to be like out of it, but he'll be like back into the top 10 or maybe top 15, top 20. That's what he does.
You know how much money that is if you continually do that every week?
I'll take that.
I would say.
He does a great job.
Of collecting a check, a good check.
Keep getting them checks, guy. I mean, hopefully he wins one at some point. He seems like a likable guy, and we know how tough he is. But
he's a big dude too, by the way, Tony Finau.
I'm worried he's like Ricky Fowler in terms of guy. He'll be top 10 so many times, but in a couple of years, we'll be asking, when is that dude going to actually win something?
Dude, you never even heard of him until this year. This Tony
Finau. Finau. He's been doing this for years on the tour.
He's been around for a while.
You know, he's taking this. He's stepping it up. He's on my team, so he's my guy. I'm going to defend him.
That's his guy right now.
It is. Guy broke his leg and still played.
What happened to Vegas? Did he What was his day like after? I know he started out with a couple bogeys.
Oh, Jonathan Vegas?
Did he end up plus 10, plus 20 with the brand new clubs?
Vegas did. Yeah, well, that was that whole visa issue, and he just showed up for his tee time and never swung the clubs he was playing because those got lost in the travel. Let me see where.
Some would say he's a good golfer. He should do well. I'm interested to see with brand new clubs that you've never hit before.
Yeah, plus 5.
Okay.
Plus 5. Not terrible. But no. He's not in contention. He's under the cut line at this point. He needs a better round today. Maybe Jonathan Vegas can get some time to get to the driving range today.
With his clubs.
Maybe warm up a little bit. Maybe his actual clubs showed up.
That's true by now.
By now. But obviously, if he hadn't made his tee time yesterday, he would have been disqualified. So he goes out and shoots plus 5, but he can come back and play today and try to make the cut and play into the weekend. But, you know, little driving range session
Tiger's,
might help.
Tiger's just playing like an old man. Even par, just...
About what he is now.
Getting around there.
About what he is now.
Yep. That's how I was yesterday. First four
holes.
What do
you mean how you were yesterday? You said you shot a 92.
Yeah, I fell apart.
It's not how Tiger was.
I fell apart. I started out with four pars at a very good golf course, and I was excited, and I was letting everybody know in the cart, hey, guess who's even par right here? And then double, single.
I'm taking some money from my buddies.
It's like Jordan yesterday. At the end. All right, so there you go. We're off and running. We've got good stuff. We'll keep you posted from Carnoustie all morning. Good. Love to have live sports on while we're doing the program. That's always fun here on the Show of the People. We'll dive into this NFL situation. The NFL as a league has kind of admitted their mistake when they rushed into this anthem policy without consulting the players and bringing them into the conversation. So they're going to try to correct that. We'll get into that story as the NFL is here. You know, training camps have opened. The teams that are playing in the Hall of Fame game have already gone to camp.
Some rookies are in camp, right?
No. Well, Ravens and Bears have been in camp with their rookies for a week now, but their veterans have shown up, and they're actually in training camp and for Baltimore and Chicago. That's your Hall of Fame matchup. And then, yeah, this is the week where the rookies for a lot of these teams have shown up, and next week, pretty much in across the NFL, camps will open for sure, including
Bacon
the Cowboys.
Mayfield.
And on the USA Today is out with their projections for the upcoming season, record-wise, and for the Super Bowl. And I will get you those when we come back, and we'll debate their picks. And there is a surprise. I'll just say this. They don't have the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl representing the AFC. Who do they have? We'll let you know.
Fake news.
We come back on B&E on a Friday on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260. Also 101.9 FM. And might be a little scratchy today with the heat and the inversion and the interference. You might want to fire up the app today. Always streaming at hornfm.com and on the Horn app.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
B&E on the Horn. It is a Friday. I want to remind you to join the Horn and the Positive Coaching Alliance. We've got a great event coming up in the month of August. It's the Reclaiming Youth Sports, The Power of Positivity, co-hosted by the UT's Division of Diversity and Community Engagement. That event is from 9 o'clock to 1 o'clock Saturday, August 11th at DKR, the football stadium there. Special guests include Hall of Famer and three-time NBA champion Joe Dumars, who's the NBA's Sportsmanship Award. That's what it's named for. Mark Henry, the world's strongest man, will be there and much more. For all the details on that, it's great for the youth and for coaches and parents. PositiveCoach.org or HornFM.com for all the details on the Positive Coaching Alliance and their Reclaiming Youth Sports Power of Positivity, which is coming up August the 11th. All the details at our website, hornfm.com. Drizzly and sometimes even a steady rain at Carnoustie this morning for the second round of the British Open, but no wind to speak of. Very light breeze on the coast of the North Sea there, which has led to low scores, including Tommy Fleetwood posting a 65. He is in the clubhouse at 5-under for his first two rounds. He's in good position headed into the weekend, to say the least. Zach Johnson is going to wrap up his second round. He is also to -5. They have equaled Kevin Kisner, who was the leader yesterday after he shot a 66, but he has not hit a ball yet. He will tee off later today. Rory McIlroy is making a run. He's to 4-under. So we'll keep you posted. But Fleetwood and Zach Johnson, the stories of day two so far. Tiger Woods still even par. All right, so the major news out of the NFL. By the way, I got a text from our friend Colonel Craig Flowers. He's got a great guest tomorrow in studio. I don't know if you've seen this story that's been covered by Outside the Lines on ESPN and Oprah Winfrey. Oprah had this guy in to tell his story. Ronnie Vincleric will be on with him. He is the Oklahoma State offensive line coach. But the story is incredible. He grew up with four brothers. He's the oldest of five in Flatonia, Texas,
It's a little town between Houston and San Antonio. And his parents were both died when he was a boy. And he was the oldest of five, which you can relate to. You're the oldest of eight.
Mm-hmm.
But his father died in an accident, and then his mother died 4 years later.
Ooh.
And the story is Ronnie like took the reins of the family as a teenager and raised his brothers, essentially. It's an amazing story because the state tried to break them up and send them out to
separate
different
them
homes,
to foster homes.
And they wouldn't let it happen. And he went on to, you know, football kind of got them off, and now he's coaching offensive line at Oklahoma State. Great story, but point there, Ronnie Van Cleric will be in with Colonel tomorrow morning on 0900, 9 to 10.
Winfrey's coming in with?
No. Oprah had Ronnie Van Cleric in to tell his story. Ah. It's one of those uplifting, it's one of those, you know what, don't tell me, you know, what does John McAfee used to tell you? Don't talk about the labor pains, just show me the baby.
Oh, yeah, I don't want to hear about the labor pains, just show me the baby.
Well, that's what this guy, hey,
you know who used to say that?
Who?
That came from
Baker Mayfield.
No, it didn't come from Baker Mayfield. It really wasn't John. It was
don't talk about the labor pains. Oh, show me that baby.
It was the guy that was with Mac, his assistant guy,
yeah.
Cleve Bryant.
Cleve
was the one who I first heard that from.
Well,
I don't know if that's all that great, you know, but yeah,
and that's his story. Look, I mean, you know, everybody can have excuses for things. It's really how you react to things that happen in your life. And you know, that's the story of the Van Cleric.
Show me the results.
Yeah.
Give me the results.
And that's all too often not the case these days. People make excuses and, you know, wallow in their own issues and blame other people. What are you going to do about it? You got to figure it out. And that'll be Ronnie Van Cleric tomorrow with Colonel. Those two, I'm sure, that'll be a great conversation. Can't wait to hear it tomorrow. All right, so the NFL and its players have called a temporary truce on the anthem thing. I think the NFL realized, and again, no matter what side of that issue you're on, that you're on the player's side, and they should be able to protest, or the owner's side, they should be able to have a rule. I don't think anybody can argue that the NFL flubbed how they went about this. They didn't even have the full consensus of the owners when they announced this rule earlier.
Not the NFL. They didn't screw it up.
Well, they just rushed it, and they didn't consult the players, and they didn't even consult all the owners on this, because there were, according to reports, there were 8 to 10 owners that wouldn't have voted for this. This was just a rule that Roger Goodell and the league put out coming out of their owners' meetings. And it was going to end up in court, because whether you agree, again, whichever side you're on, there was no conversation had between all the owners.
Earlier, the Jets owner even was I'm like, wait a minute, aren't you in agreement with everybody?
Right, so if you're the league and your own ownership, at least 10 of them, which is a third of them, are against this, and now the players are like, I mean, even the players who weren't going to protest heard this and are like, really? Come on, man. At least you can consult us on this. At least we can sit down and talk and come up with an agreement. So they filed a motion and an injunction on this rule, and this is why the league has come back to the table. It's, okay, let's just sit down. Let's hammer out a deal. Let's stay out of the courtroom if we can. And so the pause button has been pushed.
Yeah, they're going to try to get it done before the season starts and get this
over. Well, and obviously preseason games start in a few weeks. I mean, the Hall of Fame game is coming up in Canton, Ohio, a couple of weeks from now, and they're going to have an anthem, and there'll be players on the field. And so, yeah, they have to expedite this, because it's not just the regular season. The preseason games will begin.
And the league will go ahead and make $14 billion again?
Sure. Yeah, yeah. But this was a hasty decision, to say the least, and that's where the pause button. But of more import to us would be the games on the field. And USA Today, has their predictions for the NFL records of all 32 teams, division winners, and who plays in the Super Bowl. You ready for some of this?
Okay.
According to the USA Today and a guy named Nate Davis, his projections, he says that the Philadelphia Eagles will win the NFC East and go 11-5. 11-5. But in his projections, in his crystal ball, USA Today believes that not one other team in that division will be over 500. He's got the Cowboys, Giants, and Redskins all at 7-9 and outside the playoffs. For the Cowboys, he says they've got seven games against 2017 playoff teams. A full season from Zeke Elliott should certainly help, but can he offset a depleted receiving core and questions about Dak Prescott's readiness to take the next step as a franchise quarterback?
Wow.
7-9.
And this is an irrelevant list when you get to some of the other teams I'm sure that you're about to get to.
Yeah.
You could argue the Cowboys would go 7-9. That's far from the biggest beef I have with this list, but I'll let you carry on.
Okay, so 7-9. He also has the Giants at 7-9. You know, that's actually an improvement for them. They had the second pick. They were terrible last year. Saquon Barkley, Odell Beckham Jr. back. And the Redskins, with Alex Smith now at the helm at quarterback. So those three, 7-9, nip and tuck the rest of the way. NFC North, he likes the Vikings at 12-4. Remember, they were in the title game a year ago.
Get their running back back.
And they've added Kirk Cousins, which they think is an upgrade over Case Keenum. The Green Bay Packers, they like at 11-5. 11-5. They still have Aaron Rodgers. Those two sides still trying to work out a new contract.
Boy, that's a tough one, right? That's a tough conference there.
A division, yeah. Chicago Bears improved with Mitchell Trubisky, but still 7-9. And then the Detroit Lions, 6-10 for first-year head coach Matt Patricia. That's their projection of the North. So obviously the Vikings and Packers would make the playoffs. So far you have the Eagles, Vikings, Packers as postseason teams, according to the USA Today and their crystal ball predictions. NFC South, which again I think is the toughest division in the conference or maybe in the whole league.
Mm-hmm.
The Atlanta Falcons and the New Orleans Saints, he likes both at 11-5. He likes the Falcons to win the division, though. Carolina, 9-7. Tampa, 5-11. Of course, they've got Jameis Winston suspended for the first three games of the season, which is always fun. But Matty Ice and Drew Brees in that division. And NFC West, only one team that he has making the playoffs, the LA Rams, 12-4. And that's an intriguing team in Los Angeles, to say the least. Look, what about the year for LA? You know, they were in the World Series last year with the Dodgers. They just acquired Manny Machado. They want to make another run. LeBron James is now in Los Angeles. They now have two NFL teams. And according to the USA Today, he thinks they're both going to make the playoffs. We'll get you details on the AFC coming up. But he likes the Rams at a 12-4. And remember, they had the great offense last year with Todd Gurley and Jared Goff. They're going to score points for Sean McVay. But for defensive purposes, Les Snead, the general manager, went out this offseason and got something for Wade Phillips to work with, namely Ndamukong Suh to put next to the menace on the defensive front for them, Aaron Donald. So you got those two guys. Who's blocking those two? He also went out and added Aqib Talib and Marcus Peters to play corner. So they feel like they have two guys that can get on the outside and play press corner and then bring this pass rush. And wherever Wade Phillips goes, they rush the passer. They hit the quarterback. So the theory is they will be more ferocious on defense to go with that offense, and they're going to win that division. And remember, that NFC West, which at one time was the best division because the 49ers and Seahawks and Cardinals were all really good, well, all three of those teams are now, I mean, the Seahawks are Russell Wilson, and that's about it.
Yeah, well, the
49ers and Cardinals are still a ways away.
Yeah, the Cardinals, that's a leap right there, I believe, with the Cardinals.
They've got them 7-9.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm buying seven wins for the Cardinals with Sam Bradford. And then if it's not Bradford, who's as fragile as
Josh Rosen's coming in.
Josh Rosen, the rookie from UCLA.
That dude could be playing in game two.
Sure he could. 49ers, of course, would, you know, if their fans
Garoppolo,
would say 7-9, really, we got Jimmy G, year two. Here we go.
They think they're playoff bound.
Well, I mean, that's the beauty of the NFL. I mean, you talk to fan bases, most fans believe their team can be playoff bound if they stay healthy and things break their way. That's the parody of the NFL.
And as long as you have Russell Wilson, 4-12, I don't know about that.
But the Seahawks have, who do they have left? Who's playing for them?
They got that quarterback. 4-12?
Russell Wilson's good, but he's not.
They're not going to finish with four wins. They're not going to finish with less wins than Cleveland. Three less than Arizona.
Well, that's what I mean. That's the one I look at right there is the Arizona one. Then I look down at Seattle. That's the only one.
I mean, you could flip
me.
Arizona 7-9 and Seattle 4-12, and that wouldn't surprise anybody. But
no.
But I don't think the Seahawks are a playoff team by any stretch, and I think they're having a hard time.
Not in that division right there.
I think the Seahawks are having a hard time getting to 500.
Not in that division, right? Not with the Rams the way they're
playing. Still a players league. I mean, this is my thing with the Browns. People look at the Browns. Browns have players. Seahawks have a great quarterback, no offensive line. Their defense is completely depleted because
who's their running back?
Yeah, well, they drafted the kid that they like in the first round, but that's a word. But that division has lost its salt, and the Rams should be the king of the NFC West. So
I would agree with that.
Obviously, at that point, you've got the Rams in as a division winner, the Falcons and Saints are in. Falcons the division winner, Saints is a wild card, and Minnesota and Green Bay in with only the Eagles representing the NFC East. So those would be your NFC playoff teams according to USA Today. We'll get a break and come back, and I'll tell you who they have in the Super Bowl, and then we'll run through the AFC, including the Texans, who USA Today likes. We'll get you details, but they do not have the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl. Do not have the Patriots. They have a different team playing. Well, we'll get you both Super Bowl. This is according to USA Today. You can agree or disagree, and we'll let BK weigh in, Buck weigh in as well on where you agree or disagree. He's got the Cowboys at 7-9. We'll do the AFC next. Quick timeout. Also a leaderboard from the British Open, where the rain continues to fall, but the scores are low because the wind is down on a soft golf course. We'll keep you posted all morning. It's B&E.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Gotta All right, busy on a Friday. It's going to be 104 degrees today, and it's amazing if you look at the weather app on your phone or just look at the long-term forecast. 104 today, 105 tomorrow, 7 on Sunday, and then 109 degrees topping out on Monday. Just a blazing hot heat wave. Heck, it's amazing. You look at that forecast, between Monday and Tuesday, it'll drop 10 degrees. So some of the hottest temperatures we've seen in a long time here in Central Texas. 109 Monday, but then back to 99 on Tuesday. But it's going to be sweltering this weekend, so make plans for that. And probably indoors or water or be safe is the number one
indoors
thing.
Everything indoors. And I don't know how the 49ers are going to do anyway with Garoppolo and the porn star. That's going to be...
Yeah, not
it's
really.
Probably going to be a little bit of drama during the season.
Yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo is now a 49er, and he's, according to most females I've talked to that have seen him, they think he's kind of a dreamboat. Tall, dark, and handsome.
Yeah.
Got the big contract. And I don't know about, we always talk about a quarterback being a judgment position, and he seems to be pretty good. Guy can fling it. He's 7-0 as a starter and looked great last year when he took over in San Francisco after being traded from the Patriots. But, yeah, the hot gossip is that he was spotted in Beverly Hills this week on a dinner date, apparently, with a adult entertainer.
Former or?
Ah.
We don't have the scoop.
And she's 41 years old.
Oh, whoa.
It's current.
She's current. Yeah, well, I think, okay, once you are, you are. That's what you always are.
No, I mean, you can be, I was a former alcoholic.
But the videos
alcoholic.
Last forever.
I guess I'm an alcoholic still today.
But those videos and those films last forever. They're always there.
What if they're in the cloud? Even if you try to hide them, they're in the cloud somewhere now?
They're online everywhere. She's made, like, adult films for years and years. Her name's Mia something or other.
They're in a vault?
You don't need to hit up the cloud for this. These are easy to find.
So you can be 41 and retired, but your prowess is still out there. It's like the game film. The game film is still there to be found. Oh, I in the like sky
when I,
don't...
Back, when I go back to see Gale Sayers, old film with Gale Sayers, it's still there.
He's always a professional football player. I can watch the games. The eye in the sky don't lie, as they say.
She's 41?
Yeah, 41. So I don't know the scoop on that, but I would question that for Garoppolo. Seems like he could do, I don't know.
Or no, don't say better, because he may have the best.
Could have just been a one-time bit.
Yeah, it could be.
Maybe it was like a Tinder date or something.
Maybe it's his cousin. Who knows?
Oh, maybe they're related.
Yeah, maybe they're related.
No. No. That would be an issue.
No,
Jimmy G. Come on, man.
Taking his cousin out to lunch.
Jeez Louise. I said yesterday, I can deal with a couple of cars in the garage. I can't deal with a parking garage. Just saying. That just can't. Jeez Louise. That's like, I don't need a professional. But maybe he's looking for a professional. I don't know.
Yeah, there's some experience there, you know?
Sometimes you just want the best.
Is that making the best or to make them road hard? Never mind. Okay, so we have the predictions, and they have that. Look, I understand that's probably the most controversial one from the NFC, according to the USA Today, and this is just one guy's opinion and his crystal ball. He's got the Eagles winning the East and the Cowboys at 7-9. He's got the Vikings and Packers both doing well. The Vikings winning the North, but those two are playoff teams with Aaron Rodgers. Falcons, Saints in the playoffs from the South with the Panthers just outside and the Buccaneers pulling up the rear there. But the NFC West is interesting. With the Rams at 12-4, he says, Cardinals, though, 7-9, which that's the one. And again, the Seahawks, who were 9-7 a year ago and in the did they make the postseason or just outside of it last year? Just outside of it. Seahawks going 4-12. 4-12, essentially saying that Richard Sherman nailed it when he said they've lost their way. And Richard Sherman did say that recently, that they are pretty void of talent at this point outside of Russell Wilson. There aren't a lot of star players
on
that
team.
They
had a nice little run. They're trying to now revamp things.
And Earl Thomas wants to hold out. He wants to be traded. There's still people thinking he'll end up a Cowboy before the season starts, but time running out on that. They drafted, the Seahawks did, the kid Rashad Penny, the running back, who they like a lot. They think he can be rev up their run game. But there's just not a lot of star power on that team right now. That defense used to be so ferocious, but now it's a rebuilding defense. So we'll see if Pete Carroll can work his magic. All right, to run through them, AFC, according to USA Today, has New England. What do you know? New England winning the East, 11-5, with Julian Edelman back, but he'll be suspended for the first four games, remember. Dolphins, Ryan Tannehill is back, but still 7-9 for Coach Adam Gase, he says. Jets, 4-12. Come on, J-E-T-S, Jets.
I'm going with the Jets winning more games this year.
They won
year.
More than four last year.
I know. Why are they winning less this year?
The New York J-E-T-E Jets.
Who's gotten better than they have? The Miami Dolphins?
Why are they winning more than last year?
I think they're going to be a better team.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Darnold, you're gonna have a rookie quarterback most likely, because I think they'll get him on the field. But by the way, the reports in New York, and we'll find out more, because it won't just be reports, it'll be actual on field performance. But Teddy Bridgewater apparently is playing great for them through their offseason program, and they signed Teddy Bridgewater on a flyer. And remember, Teddy was a one time thought to be a first round pick, and then had that horrible knee injury.
Right.
But it appears he's all the way back and has really picked up that offense quickly. So watch for that with the Jets. He could be in the way of Sam Darnold getting immediate playing time.
I don't know why they can't be any better than the Dolphins and the Bills. They may not have
the Bills
running
were in
back.
The playoffs last year, though, and they have the Bills at 3-13. 3-13 in the USA Today.
If their star running back's not in jail.
Yeah, LeSean McCoy, that story is in the works. I haven't heard much on that this week, but Josh Allen, they drafted him. They've liked what they've seen from him in minicamp, but the O-line has been decimated. If it's not Shady, remember, they traded Tyrod Taylor to Cleveland, so it's pretty much Josh Allen or bust at this point.
Boy, that'll put a lot of pressure on him if Shady McCoy's not there.
AFC North, they like Pittsburgh at 10-6. That's kind of the old guard. Le'Veon Bell becomes an issue. He's going to either hold out or play on the one-year deal. So Pittsburgh at 10-6. Ravens 7-9. I don't know if they get to 7-9. We'll see. I think the way Joe Flacco has played the last several years. Now, remember, the story there, that thing could get really loose in Baltimore with Lamar Jackson there.
Yeah.
That'll be the story to watch. Cincinnati 7-9, Cleveland 5-11. AFC South, much like the NFC South, USA Today says three teams with winning records, including Jacksonville, to win the division at 12-4. And this says copious talent, swagger, and a physical style is reminiscent of Seattle's recent teams. And that is true. Jacksonville has kind of become the old school Seattle with that defense.
Seattle.
With the way they can cover you up. Remember when the Legion of Boom was rolling? They could cover you on the outside with Richard Sherman and those guys, Earl Thomas. Well, now they've got Jalen Ramsey.
There's nothing wrong with that team.
Yeah, Jack. Well, the quarterback is the only question mark, right? With Blake Bortles.
Played pretty well in the playoffs last year. It wasn't bad.
Yeah, Leonard Fournette, year two. He's a beast. They've added weaponry around Blake Bortles. They have the Texans at 11-5. With a healthy Deshaun Watson, and in the playoffs, by the way. Tennessee, 10-6. USA Today says this, hot take alert, no first-year head coach will have a bigger impact on their team than Mike Vrabel.
He did a great job in his first year as the Texans defensive coordinator, taking them from first to 32nd in total defense.
They're saying anyone will do better than the head coach that they had.
Well, but BK never mentions that they lost seven starters from that number one defense to injury for the season. That's talent wins. Players win in this league, and if you take all your good players off your defense, yes, can go very quickly from very good to very bad. That absolutely can happen, and it happened in Houston last year. And if they don't stay healthy, it'll happen again. But Tennessee's got good players, and Marcus Mariota. Remember, DeMarco Murray's retired.
Yeah, that's right. He is gone.
It's going to be feature back time for Big Derrick Henry in Tennessee. All right, we'll pick this up. They've got the Colts at 2-14. Then we'll get to the AFC West. I still have been teasing this. I haven't gotten you to the Super Bowl yet, but we will. Right on the other side, plus a leaderboard from the U.S. Open. We've got some new leaders among the top spot at the British Open. It's all coming, Beanie.